We have three of the burdens in this chapter, and then in the 22nd chapter we have the other burden. And Lord willing, we want to cover not all of it, or the last one, but part of it tonight. We'll read this from the 11th verse out of the King James, and I would like to read it. We would like to read it out in this other version that I really, really do like. Isaiah 21:11, the burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye inquire, inquire ye. Return and come. In this other version, he renders it, a city comes to me from Seir. Watchman, what of the night? O watchman, what of the night? The watchman says, morning comes, but also night. If you will inquire, inquire. Return, exclamation mark, and come, and another exclamation mark. Well, this is the burden of Duma. Duma means silence, or deep silence. It's the form of Edom, and our word dumb comes from this word, Duma, our word dumb. And notice here that he calls out of Seir. Now, Seir means rough, hairy, and shaggy. And this is said of Esau. You will recall in Genesis 25:25, he was, write this down, we're not going to turn there, but he was hairy, he was Seir. So he's a type of profane man, earthly, sinful flesh of all mankind. I want to read that concerning Esau in Hebrews. This is ungodly man, really, because Esau is a type of the flesh. Hebrews 12 and verse 16 and 17. I want to read the 15th. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. This profane means wicked person or heathenish. As Esau, he was not born again. He sold his birthright for one morsel of meat, something that would pass away. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So this is the type of the profane man, earthly, sinful flesh. And the present condition of the natural world and the religious world of the earth answers to Duma and to Seir. It's silent to God. They do not like to retain God in their knowledge, it says in Romans 1:28. And it seems like more and more Satan's getting even God's people so busy, that we don't even have time. And how he loves this. We don't even have time to sit down and study and be alone with the Lord. But he says, watchman, what of the night? This word watchman, I looked it up. I wanted, when I get into studying it, just Holy Spirit, just put this desire to know everything I can out of what we're studying. Watchman, the primary root, means to hedge about as with thorns, to guard, protect, attend, or observe. And these prophets were watchmen. Anyone who gives out the word, whether it's in teaching or in individual testimony, is a watchman. If we warn, if we testify of what is coming, we're a watchman. Over in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, and the 8th verse, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. Do we do that? It's what the Lord wants us to do. With a voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. I like that. shall lift up his voice, and with a voice together shall they sing. Because they truly, that's going to be a marvelous chapter. That's when Zion's awakened and redeemed. It's going to be a wonderful time. In 1 Thessalonians, let's turn there, the second chapter, and Saturday we heard out of this chapter regarding the watchman and the night. Now he says, watchman, what of the night? And he asked that question twice, what of the night? In 1 Thessalonians 2, 1-7, we'll read these scriptures. Do I want first or second? No, I want the fifth chapter. Though the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, and God hath given us light, that they should overtake you as a thief. And it's going to overtake a lot of God's people who are walking in darkness. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Talking to the first rank here. Therefore let us not sleep as do others. Paul knew some word. But let us watch, be aware, and be sober. Be free of intoxicants. That word sober. You can be intoxicated with the things of this world. And now, again, Satan loves it. For they that sleep, this word sleep means to yield to sloth or sin. You can be very slothful in the things of the Lord. Well, the thought is here, then the enemy will surely do this with us. He'll say, oh, this is more important. And at the last day or two, it seems like this is what the enemy's been trying to keep us so busy. And they're necessary things that we've had time to study, but yet time to wait on the Lord. And I thank the Lord for Wednesdays and Fridays. I have catch up to do on other days, but to study the Word and to just have that time with the Lord. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. And as Brother Jean brought out Saturday, a person that is drunk does not want to be fed. They don't want to eat. And this is what people that are drunken with the things of the world become. They come so drunken with the things of the world that they don't want to eat spiritual food. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and foreign helmet, the hope of salvation. So here he says, watchmen, what of the night? In Amos 5:18, I want to read to the little book of Amos, precious little book, the fifth chapter and the 18th verse. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? Talking to Israel. The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Why is it? It's because they're going to have to go through the tribulation, the night. We're in the night now. And in the night, it's going to be getting darker. It's really even time, that time for the coming of the Lord. And Israel's going to have to go through the darkness, the days of tribulation, before the light comes to them. So the day of the Lord will be night for all the ungodly, not only for Israel, but for all mankind who is not yielding to him. And so many today, as we said from Romans there, they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's quite a chapter in Romans 1. God gave them because they forgot him and they didn't want to listen to him. He gave them over to Satan, body, soul, and spirit. Gave them over to their own lust. That's quite a chapter. Read it again if you want. God did this. And that's why man, in his rejection of his son and of himself, he said, all right, you just go ahead and do what you want to do. And that's the thought there. The watchmen say here in verse 12, the morning cometh and also the night. And Israel's morning will come after their night of tribulation. And if they wish to inquire, God says, do so. But when you do so, repent to God. And that's what Israel and all mankind needs to do. This is an entreaty. He says here, if you will inquire, inquire ye, return and come. This is what Isaiah through the Holy Spirit is saying here. Come. And this is what the Lord says in throughout the Word. A lot like that is in Matthew. Come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We have an invitation from the Lord, the most privileged invitation any man and any person has ever had is to come unto him. Praise the Lord. All right, the next burden is in verses 13 through 17, and we'll read it out of the King James, and then we'll have this other. The burden upon Arabia. In the forest in Arabia shall ye lodge, O ye traveling companies of Dedanim. The inhabitants of the land of Tina brought water to him that was thirsty. They presented with their bread him that fled. For they fled from the swords, from the drawn sword, and from the bent bow, and from the grievousness of war. I'm going to back up and begin reading this out of the other. It's so much more descriptive. So we'll begin again with the 13th verse. In the forest in Arabia, or in the evening, must ye pass the night, O ye caravans of Dedanim, bring water for the thirsty. The inhabitants of Tema with their loaves of bread are coming to feed the famished fugitives. Now remember, this is wartime. For these are all a flying from before the sword, flying from before the flashing sword unsheathed, flying from before the bow ready bent, flying from before all the miseries of war. For thus hath Jehovah said unto me, let but a year pass as the year of one hired, then all shall be over with Kedar's display, and few shall the remnant be of the bows of the mighty of Kedar. For Jehovah, the God of Israel, has spoken. I like that. When he speaks, the world has to stand still, don't they? And they're going to one of these days. All of the activity of the world will cease. Arabia, the meaning of Arabia, according to Jackson, is dusky, and that is equivalent to the evening here. It's evening for the world that is away from God, even at the present day. Arabia is away from the Lord. All these Arabian countries are away from the Lord. There's individuals in them we know that have turned to the Lord, but as a nation, they're away. These Dedanites are connected with Ham. And I want to read these scriptures. Let's go to Genesis 10. See their background, where they're from. These are all Arabians, but they're from different families. Genesis 10 and the 7th verse, we'll read the 6th. And the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim and Phut and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Raama, Sabtika, and the sons of Raama, Sheba and Dedan. So we see they are from Ham. They're connected with Ham. And also from Shem through Abraham. Let's go to Genesis 25. 25, 1 through 3. Genesis 25. Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian. Noted Midian means, I always remember that, it means strife. And Ishbak, and that's something I can't handle anymore, is strife. I just leave that with the Lord. Let him take care of it. And Ishbak, and Shua, and Jokshan began Sheba, and this is Arabia, and Dedan. And then the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, and Letushim, and Leummim. Quite the names, aren't they? But these all represent the Arabian countries, and they're seen here traveling on their regular caravan route here in Isaiah. But they're being driven out of it by a powerful military force, and their only hope is for them to take concealment in the forest here. They come to this forest and they lodge there. And then, now this is, we're talking about the future too, because this has a greater future fulfillment than back then. And we'll get into this, how these armies are going to start from the east, and they're going to come and just completely take over this, all this land. In the 14th verse, the inhabitants of the land of Tema brought water to him. These Tema were of Ishmael. We should have kept Genesis 25. I'd like to read this again. See, all those nations that are against Israel today are from these different families, tribes, whatever. Genesis 25 and verse 13. Well, let's start with the 12th again. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, and notice who they're from, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. No wonder they're from Hagar. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael is Nebajoth and Kedar and Abdeel and Mibsam. And Mishma and Duma, there's Duma again, and Mesa, Hadar, and Tema. Here we have Tema. Jetur, Naphish, and Kedemoth. All of these are from Ishmael. And remember, Ishmael was the son of Hagar. And Ishmael did not inherit the land. The land was given to Isaac, wasn't it? To Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so it's through Isaac that Christ came. So they're acquainted, they're blood related, so say, with these Arabians. And so they bring them water and met them there with bread. They were trying to help them. And this 15th verse that we read in this other rendition is really graphic. They fled from swords, from drawn flashing swords that were ready to use, and from bows that were all strung and ready to use. They were on the run, weren't they? And the Lord said unto Isaiah, within a year, according to the years of an hireling, and all the glory of Kedar shall fall. Years of a hireling, we had that over in the 16th chapter of the 14th verse. But I want to talk about Kedar. It means darkness, and it also means black. And I'm sure you can probably tell me where I'm going to turn next. Anybody have any ideas? Let's go to Song of Solomon. I couldn't leave this out. Song of Solomon, the first chapter, right before Isaiah. Song of Solomon 1:5. This is the Shulamite that is talking, and she says in Song of Solomon, have we all found it? It's right before Isaiah. So it should be in the first chapter and the fifth verse. I'll wait, but it's all to enjoy this. This is one of the most precious scriptures to me. All right, Song of Solomon 1:5. I am black, she says, but comely. O ye daughters, and she's talking to the daughters, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. I love this verse. The Shulamite here saw her true nature of the natural after being brought into the Lord's presence. And this is why the Lord wants to bring us into his presence, is that we can see how sinful the whole man really is. Kedar, this is darkness, it's the imprint that is on everyone because of the sinful nature that is within us. And cold there, and I want to read Ephesians 2. These are things that the Lord never lets me forget, and I trust he never lets you forget, that we were brought up out of the miry clay, out of that pit that was big for us, and he's done so much in all of our lives. And we don't ever want to forget this. We want to appreciate and value what the Lord has done for us. Ephesians 2, and especially since we're Gentiles. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, or this age. And we walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Did we know this? Not until the Lord got a hold of us. And our eyes were opened. But we walked according to the prince of the power of the air. We yielded to Satan, in other words. You think the world, ungodly people know this? No. No more than we did. But we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Just think of that. And you'll run it over. The spirit is still working in these sons of disobedience. There are many of God's people that are disobedient to his word. And this spirit is still working in them. They're following the course of the world instead of listening and obeying the word of God. But this third verse says, among whom also we all, Jew and Gentile alike, had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. Think of this, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, we were a corpse, we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, only by his grace, and hath raised us up together, and made us, or enthroned us, with him in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, and the purpose that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Aren't those wonderful scriptures? What he's done for us, that we're so privileged that have let him work in our lives, and that he chose us for his own. But this Shulamite, back in Song of Solomon, knows she had sin. She has sin in the flesh. She says, I'm black. But notice what she says, but comely. She knows Christ has wrought a change in her, and she's comely now. And how comely is she? As the curtains of Solomon. And these curtains were made of fine twined linen. And it speaks of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. She knew she was righteous in Christ. Oh, we can get into Song of Solomon. That is a marvelous book, verse there. Praise the Lord. All right. Back in Isaiah, in the 15th verse, well, the 16th, we're talking about Kedar. After, in the 17th verse now, and the residue of the number of archers, the mighty men of the children of Kedar, shall be diminished, for the Lord God of Israel has spoken it. After the Lord Jesus comes and this judges the ungodly out of Israel and out of all the nations, there's going to be this remnant, as Isaiah's son tells us this. And they're going to sing out of Kedar. Now let's go to the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. Remember Revelation 5, there's going to be sung out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 42 and 11th verse. This, again, is going to be a marvelous chapter. We've got a lot ahead of us here in Isaiah. Let's start with the 9th verse. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And he's telling us these things by the prophets. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Isn't that marvelous? God's going to have a company from this people. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountain. This will be a wonderful day, isn't it? But all of the ungodly will be judged by God. And all the world, out of these people that he's chosen, out of all these countries that are turned to the Lord, are going to sing unto the Lord. It will be quite a change, isn't it? Be glad when it comes. All right, are there any questions now on these two verses? Want to go on to the next, begin the next one if we can. Let's let the Lord just fill our hearts with glory and joy as we study these. They are so rich. They are so wonderful. And as I study them and give them out, the Holy Spirit just fills me with what we have here.